From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Treasury Department has delayed the release of its latest currency report. It should give U.S. government officials time to discuss China behind closed doors. And it looks like Japan will further open its doors to the import of U.S. beef. Dave Dickey will have all the details. Hey, don't forget, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast in just 26 minutes with the folks at Chesapeake Energy, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat finished higher at 1.5 cents up at 6.24 and a quarter. March at 6.58, up a penny and a half as well. And May wheat at 6.81, up 1 and a quarter. July of next year, $6.96 and 3 quarters. The harvest month down a half in Chicago. Harvest month hard red in Kansas City. Soft red or hard red July at 7.45 and 3 quarters, up 4 and 3 quarters for the day. Back in Chicago corn pit now. December futures 6.40 and a half, a half higher. March at 6.51 and a quarter, down 1 quarter. May corn at 6.58, 3 quarters lower. July at 6.62 and a quarter, down 1. September futures finished at 6.20 and 3 quarters, down 2 and a half. And next year's December at 6.03 and a quarter, up 1 and 3 quarters of a cent. November beans down 17 cents today, $12.53. January at 12.60 and a half, 18 cents lower. The March at 12.67 and 3 quarters, down 18. In the May beans, 12.71, down 18. July at 12.77 and 3 quarters, 17 and 3 quarters lower. November beans of next year at $12.33 a bushel, down 18 cents. Bean meal at $3.23, down $4.60. Bean oil at $52.90, 64 cents lower. Mercantile Exchange, October feeder cattle at $121.35, down 30. December up 45 at $123.65. October feeders at $140.15, up 25. And December lean hogs today at $90.70, up 62 and a half cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures, $86.46 a barrel, down 34 cents. Ethanol at 273 and two tenths. That's up 3 1/10 of a cent. Natural gas at 366 and 7 tenths, 3 and 6 tenths lower for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 3 and 9 tenths at $3 a penny and a half. And the gold futures for the day, $1,675.50 an ounce, down $6.30. The Dow at 11,401, just about 243 points lower. The dollar at 77.1, up 0.5. And the CRB index at 314.56, that's down 2.6 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 61 degrees. West winds at about 11 miles an hour, gusting as high as 16. The chance of precip in the area this afternoon set at 30% for the day. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy. A low of 40 degrees, west-northwest winds at 6 to 9. And Tuesday, a 30% chance of rain before 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Partly sunny with a high of 52 degrees, north-northwest winds at 5 to 11, gusting to 16 in Urbana-Champaign. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 38. On Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 51. Wednesday night, cloudy, and a low of 36. Mostly sunny on Thursday, but the high just 52 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33. And Friday, it'll be sunny with a high near 57 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 40. Saturday, sunny, a high of 63. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 45 degrees. And on Sunday, right here in Urbana-Champaign, a chance of showers, partly sunny, a high near 62 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Monday afternoon, time to check the futures markets. Alongside with us today, Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Some interesting things happening over the last week. Maybe you could recap them and give us your view forward from here, please.
Well, basically, the WASDE numbers last week sort of set the tone there with the production estimates, acreage estimates, demand estimates, and so forth. Those pretty well are out and known what the trade's going off of. And the corn pit especially, once we saw those numbers, we've done nothing but gone sideways, sort of consolidating after we bounced off the lows that we established here 2 weeks ago. Right now, we're sort of waiting for some additional news. We saw some additional Asia corn sales being announced there, see if there's some additional sales or not. Waiting on to see how the last part of harvest goes. This afternoon, we'll expect the corn harvest to be 40-45% complete. Thus far, yields have improved or higher than expected. So that'll be the next event. Same thing in the beans. We got the bean numbers out last week. Market had a huge up last week. Reached some technical areas where it warranted some profit taking. The main thing in the beans is probably the victim of the spread right now. Trade's not as enthusiastic about the beans as they were last week. We saw a lot of selling of the beans and buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat on the spread. News there, basically, outside the WASDE numbers was the Informa numbers, of course, you know, expecting some additional bean acres. When you take the additional bean acres into next year and see a little slowdown demand and use trend line yields, it will indicate maybe upwards towards a 240 million bushel carryout for the 12 crop, but that's a long, long ways away, Todd.
Okay, so October the 4th, we set a low down in the lead option, just right at a dollar from the close today, a dollar lower. So we were at, what, $11.52 or $12.52? Yeah, $11.52 on the low. Is there more up in this marketplace, or have we reached a place where it's going to have to make a decision, and that might take a while?
Well, we're sticking to the idea. We have a low in by Columbus Day that has come and gone. The low came prior to that. We feel that pullbacks are going to be well supported on end user pricing, also speculative pricing, as we're starting to turn the short term momentum indicators up here, and warrants may a long position in the grain complex going into year end. Barring no economic disaster somewhere, we feel that once harvest is fairly wrapped up here, that end users are going to have to continue to be buyers on breaks or supportive to shake cash grain loose from the producer. Basis continues to remain relatively strong as a whole, and we feel that's going to continue to be the trend into that first week of December. Then after that, we'll have to sort of see where we are at then.
Would you lay out a same scenario of strong basis through December for corn?
We believe so. We feel that, you know, at least here in the central Midwest, grain bins were pretty well empty on farm and at the elevator. And we feel with the excellent quality we're seeing coming out of the field, no real big time being spent to dry down here, that we'll see guys want to be a store of this crop, at least going into this winter. A lot of it was sold earlier, and that's pretty well been moved into the marketing channel here and satisfying this fall needs. But we'll see how this demand unfolds as we go into the first quarter of 2012.
And do some thinking about what this really means fundamentally. So we've had an easy time putting the crop away so far. Plenty of bin space for corn. Nothing going on the ground, or not very much, if there is any at all, at the elevators. It's left a lot of silver open, frankly, for producers to use for beans if they want to. And I'm guessing they may have done that. They're going to lock the bin doors at this point. What do they have to be wary about in the way of the pricing structure at the, and with that much grain? You know, or that little grain, depending on how you want to look at it, that's locked up, and what sorts of triggers should they be thinking about to make sales with, based on the fundamentals on the ground?
Well,
I'm simply asking. It's all put away. There's not a lot of it, but everybody's going to try to sell at the same time at some point. And what does it mean?
Well. As far as producers selling, you're not going to see any of that for a whole while in here. I've been seen a lot of markets, and I guess what I'm trying to say is once a guy fills up a grain bin or has paid minimum storage, I've not seen him turn around the next day and empty that grain bin or let that cash grain go. So I think it's, you know, time-wise in through here, once we get through harvest, you know, it's going to keep a lot of grain off the market. If they don't get covered here, they're going to have to chase us higher, but basically we feel we can retrace half of what we've given up here, and that's basically a dollar off the October 3rd low in corn and $1.50 off the October low there in the beans. If you want to stretch that a little bit more, you can add another 25 cents on the corn and another 50 cents on beans. At that point, that would be a spot as a producer to make some catch-up sales there, Todd.
So you're talking, what, $6.72 and $13, is that right?
$13.18 on January futures, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else we ought to add before I let you go?
Well, it's a dynamic market. We're going to have a lot of ups and downs. The bright spot continues to be in the livestock sector.
Yeah.
Per capita consumption has dropped dramatically here in the U.S., as much as 5 pounds on beef, but yet that has been dramatically made up by Asian demand. So, we need to continue to make sure these livestock guys stay profitable to keep that feed you see.
And it looks like the Japanese will be in for more beef and opening their import market back up, too.
Up to 30 months of age now. So, yeah, they're continuing to see their economy stay together here, and we've been a real good source of protein for them.
Since you brought this up, places that they ought to be thinking about locking in if they don't have corn on hand on their own farm, their input prices?
As far as livestock goes, they've got to be aggressive here and get some coverage, especially on this 11 crop. We feel that you get that covered. You can buy a put or hedge it on the board to give you downside protection if you feel, you know, you get caught maybe buying it too high here. But we feel we need to at least get some coverage on through at least the first quarter of 2012.
Thanks so much.
Very good.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
You can visit FarmerView. You can always visit our own website and get the latest commodity markets and a bit of analysis as well, either at willag.org, that's willag.org on your computer, or off your smartphone at m.willag.org. That's our mobile website. Been around for a few weeks now, thanks to those folks who are using it. I think they like it. It's pretty simple and easy to use. Again, that's on your smartphone at m.willag.org. Don't have a smartphone? Don't worry about that. You can always just dial this number. Voicemail updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with either the open or closing numbers and a bit of analysis, 217-333-3434. It's all part of the agricultural service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Now here's Dave Dickey. He'll bring you the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the Treasury Department says it once again is delaying release of its twice-yearly currency report to Congress. Last Friday's announcement explaining the latest delay said it would give U.S. authorities a chance to assess exchange rate progress at several upcoming multilateral meetings, including the Group of 20 ministerial gathering this month and leaders' summit next month in France, as well as next month's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meetings in Hawaii among finance ministers and heads of state. That gives Treasury officials time to address China's undervalued currency in closed-door settings before publicly issuing a report, which routinely in the past has criticized Chinese policy for artificially depressing the value of the yuan, but stops short of a more formal declaration of currency manipulation. Meanwhile, China's foreign ministry today says that attacks by leading U.S. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney on Chinese trade and currency practices are irresponsible and urged him to stop blaming others. Romney last week threatened trade sanctions against China if the world's number two economy does not halt what he said was currency manipulation, unfair subsidies, and widespread intellectual property theft. China has repeatedly said that the yuan's value is not a cause of imbalances in the world economy and that it is committed to the gradual reform of the exchange rate as part of a broader reforms package to boost domestic consumption. Japan has begun considering easing restrictions on beef imports from the U.S. that were imposed over fears of mad cow disease. Sources say the issue may be discussed next month at U.S.-Japan summit meetings. Support appears strongest for a proposal that would allow beef from cattle aged 30 months or younger to be imported into Japan rather than the current limit of 20 months or younger. Japan banned imports of U.S. beef in December of 2003 when the first U.S. case of mad cow disease was confirmed. It lifted the ban in December of 2005, but imposed conditions that included limiting U.S. beef imports to meat from cattle aged 20 months or younger. And the Federal Reserve today says that U.S. industrial production rose 0.2% in September as a gain in manufacturing offset a drop in utility output. Utility output fell 1.8% in September after dropping 2.9% in August. But manufacturing production rose 0.4%, with consumer durables rising 0.9%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. You know, up next, the time has finally arrived. Now, up next, you know, the time's finally arrived for producers in the northern two-thirds of the Corn Belt to consider applying nitrogen for next year's corn crop. I'll have some advice from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Let's start with the hard and fast rule for fall-applied nitrogen in the form of anhydrous ammonium. Here's Illinois soil fertility specialist Fabian Fernandez.
We recommend that people wait until temperatures in the soil 4 inches below the surface are 50 degrees because at that point the activity of the bacteria is reduced substantially.
Don't even think about applying anhydrous ammonia until the 4-inch soil temperature is steadfastly at 50 degrees and dropping. That rule applies even if an inhibitor is used. Rule 2 for nitrogen application to corn is to use the online in-rate calculator.
In terms of rates, we always recommend going to the nitrogen rate calculator, the corn nitrogen rate calculator, and Googling and rate calculator, you will find that link. It's the first link. It's a website housed at Iowa State University, but all the data for Illinois comes from research done in Illinois, over 400 site years of data. So a very robust set of data. and using the price of corn and nitrogen, determining the optimum nitrogen rate. That's for a total nitrogen rate. But one of the things that I would definitely encourage farmers is to look into the possibility of splitting the application.
It's not necessary or even the best use of nitrogen, thanks Illinois' Fabian Fernandez, to apply all the N for next year's crop right now.
We don't have to apply all the nitrogen in the fall. We don't have to apply all the nitrogen in the spring. It's possible to apply a portion of the nitrogen now in the fall if the soil conditions or the place where you are is conducive to that, and then reserve the remainder of the nitrogen to be applied later in the spring, either as pre-plant or side dress application.
There has been a trend in Illinois and other Midwest corn-producing states to apply enough nitrogen in the fall to get the corn crop up and growing, but to wait and make the big push during the spring. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons joins us to take a look at the cash grain market in the East Central Illinois part of the world. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers in the field today?
Yes, they are. 50% chance of rain tonight, but with that half inch of rain we had last week, that didn't slow us down very much. And a half inch of rain tonight, if that's what we get, won't slow us down very much either. So a lot of farmers are trying to wrap things up either this week or next week.
Mostly corn coming in, or you still have beans?
I'd say there's a few full season and double crop beans that still need to be harvested. But for the most part, I would say when the numbers come out today, we're going to be looking at 85% harvested on beans in our area. So all but the last of them are just about in.
And what kind of moisture content on the corn?
Corn is really drying down nicely, a lot of 16 to 18%. I think the wettest we've seen is 21.5, 22, but the majority of it's in that 16 to 18% range.
Now, I come by the grain elevator there, the Andersons, every day, at least a couple of times. I don't recall seeing any steam coming up out of your dryers at all. Have you been using them?
No, we turned the dryers off probably about a week ago. Once the corn gets down to 16 to 18, we can put air on it and take another point or two of moisture out of it and get it down to 15.
Yeah, well, that's good for you. Good for the producers, too. They're not paying that cost. Been a good harvest season so far, I take it.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, probably a little too dry on the beans. I think the farmers probably lost 2 or 3 bushels the acre that 1 week when the beans were down around 8 to 9 to 10% moisture. But there wasn't a whole lot you could do about it because the week before they were too wet. And then all of a sudden, that 85-degree week, it just dried them down, overdried them too much, actually.
What's the basis look like for both corn and beans?
Corn basis has been on fire. Maybe we finally reached a point here at the Andersons. We're paying 3 cents over Chicago futures, so that tells you how tight corn movement has been. I don't look for that to get a whole lot better now until after harvest. Bean basis has improved a little bit. We're 20 under November, so that's improved 10 or 20 cents from where it was about a month ago. And again, now we'll wait to see whether the farmers want to move corn, especially with this little rally we had in the futures market last week.
Is your over because you're trying to fill or because you're filling trains and railing it out directly?
Filling trains. That's where the market is right now, and farmers have been extremely tight holders. Number one, I think they wanted to see what the yields were going to be, and number two, with the over $1.50, $2 drop in the corn board, most farmers just refuse to sell at those lower prices.
Yeah, and which directions are your trains going?
Trains are going down to the southeast to the chicken market.
And so they're short, and they'll probably remain that way, and they're still waiting for crop to come in, I would think, over in Ohio.
Yes. Looks like they're going to have a good crop if they can avoid a frost between now and the 1st of November.
Okay, thanks much. What's your bids for the day?
Oh, cash corn, 643, January also 643. Cash beans, 1233, January 1238.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to Illinois Public Media.
It's Homemade Bread Day. It's also a feast of St. Elizabeth of Hungary, patron of bakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1749, Nicholas Appert was born. Appert was a French cook and inventor who developed the method of preserving food that we call canning. He originally used glass jars sealed with wax and reinforced with wire. In 1865, William Burton was born. An American chemist, he devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled the proportion of gasoline yield from crude oil. His high-heat, high-pressure process saved more than 1 billion barrels of crude in its first 15 years of operation. In 1869, the Suez Canal opened, linking the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. In 1988, Walmart opened its first supercenter in Wheeler, Oklahoma. It carried fresh meat, produce, dairy products, and baked goods, in addition to other standard supermarket products and discount store merchandise. And in 1996, the World Food Summit concluded. Delegates promised full efforts to ease world hunger. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Cultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. This is the closing market report on a Tuesday afternoon. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time. A little rainfall, a lot cooler today than it has been. I guess that's the start of a new trend, isn't it?
It certainly is here, Todd. And the pattern this week is now changing and will feature an increase in precipitation, primarily across the eastern sections of the Corn Belt. But probably more significantly is the dramatic change in temperatures. Temperatures here will be crashing to below normal levels once we get into tomorrow and then for the remainder of this week and even beyond that time frame, as we see several Canadian air masses plunge down into the central and eastern U.S. And out ahead of this first one, as I mentioned earlier, we see an increase in rain activity primarily across the eastern belt. Much of this rain activity the next several days is associated with a strong storm system that's going to be cranking up across the far eastern Midwest and over Appalachia here. And some of that actually is combined with the remnants here or the some of the tropical areas here in the southeastern Gulf of Mexico, and that moisture associated with that will be flowing up into the storm. And certainly fall is going to hit us in a big way here this week.
Right. Much in the way of rainfall, or is it just a few tenths here and a few tenths there?
Well, it does look there is potential for amounts over 1 inch, possibly even 2 inches, as you get into far eastern Illinois towards the Indiana border would be the areas most likely to receive around an inch. You go further east across Indiana, even Ohio, you could see precip totals here in excess of 1.5, potentially 2 inches here, depending on where exactly the storm gets cranked up here. So further east you go, you can expect higher totals.
We will be watching the 4-inch soil temperature levels and hopes of being able to apply anhydrous ammonia in the upper two-thirds of Illinois and then across the Midwest in the same way. How quickly will the soil temperatures drop at this point? They aren't there at right now, but if we get cold fast, it's quite likely to drop and, I suppose, stay there for the rest of the season, isn't it?
That certainly is the case here, especially the fact that it's happening now here in late October, or at least this middle to end of October, and with the sun angle decreasing as we head towards winter. Certainly, yeah, it'd be tough to really rebound those temperatures or soil temperatures here coming up. And, you know, from an air temperature standpoint, we do see, at least by the middle to end of this week, you know, widespread temperatures in the 30s, even some upper 20s far up north in areas of the Dakotas and Minnesota. Minnesota, but for here in Illinois, primarily 30s. Not really any kind of hard freeze, or at least temperatures in the 20s, but certainly some areas of far northern Illinois, northern Indiana will get down right to around freezing, looks like on Friday, Saturday of this week.
Take me on a tour of South America.
South America certainly improved here compared to just a couple of weeks ago back on October 1st. We did have developing dryness concerns, and certainly last week featured a marked improvement in rainfall across both Brazil and Argentina. That's boosted soil moisture. We see an active pattern continuing across both of those areas through the end of the month, and that will continue to improve soil moisture reserves here for planting of corn and soybeans and cotton.
Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.